We went around and visited a number of women. Some were radical, some were conservative, some were Republicans, some were Democrats, some were well-known, some were not so well-known. But one and all, they all told us the same thing. They were not interested in running for the Kansas legislature. Some women felt they were too young. Some women felt they were too old. Some women said they were too busy, they'd run another time. Some women were too poor. Some women were too rich. One woman told us that she couldn't run because if she accepted office, why, she wouldn't be able to go traveling in England and on the continent with her husband. Nobody told us about Naomi Lynn's political efficacy, but I guess everybody felt that it was pretty low. A number of women considered themselves unqualified. These women had rung doorbells for other male candidates. They'd done volunteer work. Some of them had headed up fairly important divisions in the United Fund. And in some instances had good, familiar Lawrence names. Of course, these are the names of their husbands, you understand, which would have done them well in a campaign, but they still felt that they were unqualified. Maybe they were. I asked one particularly quiet and reticent possibility I was talking to what she thought about taxes. Think they were too high or too low, or what did she think? She said she didn't know. A number of good candidates had other prospects in mind. One had already accepted a government position. Some were finishing up their degrees. Others were supporting their husbands through school. One woman who had already shown considerable leadership capability was the sole support of two children. Another told us that her husband had already been restive about some previous work she had done. She was afraid if she took on this particular business of running for the legislature, it would just be the end of her marriage. One woman couldn't run for fear of losing her job. And in two cases, women had already run unsuccessful candidates, and they weren't in the mood to run another. Since we didn't nail down any women candidates, we decided to interview the men candidates at meetings in which we would tell them about our goals, and hopefully they would inform us about their goals. On the whole, I think these meetings were pretty successful. There's a real sense of immediacy about being in a room with four or five candidates, one of whom you know is actually going to win and going to be representing you over in Topeka. There's a feeling of contact with government. And of course, later on, when you need to contact this person to explain to him what law it is you want him to vote for or against, well, you have some idea of what his basic attitude is going to be and what your best approach in talking to him might be. However, in my opinion, the most successful moment for the Women's Political Caucus came after one meeting. This is one evening when we interviewed five different candidates for District 44. There were four Republicans and one Democrat running for District 44. Four of those were young people running. One of them was a student, the other three were law students, and one of them, Mr. Harwood, who finally obtained the Republican nomination, was an older man who came in only because he wanted to see the voters of Lawrence given a choice between these three young Republican men and a little older person. But after this meeting, one young woman came up to me and said, you know, after I hear what these men have to say, I think I could be a candidate myself. I was very pleased to hear this. And after looking over that particular bunch of candidates, I was inclined to agree. The thought I'd like to leave with you tonight is partly political and partly personal. Politics is generally thought of as being concerned with government, but it's a little more than that. Politics is the art of the practical. It's the art of getting things done. So first of all, in a kind of more traditional personal political sense, I'd like to urge all of you to take some part in the November elections. The best way to do this is to call up some candidate who looks good to you and offer to go help in his campaign. No matter how timid you are, no matter how feminine, and I mean feminine, not feminist, there's bound to be some job you can do, whether it's answering the telephone or addressing envelopes. After you get a little more experience, then you may want to go on to something more ambitious, such as canvassing, going door to door, giving out the cards of your candidate. Or you may want to talk to prospective voters on the telephone. Now that's the political part of it. The personal part is a little more complex. No person, man or woman today, can get control over her life without understanding the process by which things get done. But in order to get things done, you have to know something about how things are accomplished. You have to have some experience in working people who know how to get things done. I met one day with a small group of students who had a little project in mind. There was a man accused of a crime. He was poor, he couldn't defend himself. They wanted to raise some money. It was not a very large project in the sense that it seemed to me it was perfectly possible to accomplish their goals. But none of the students had any idea about how to go about accomplishing their little project. They had no idea whom to contact, what to do, who to seek out to help them. They had a good idea, but they lacked the skills necessary to carry it out. Now, what these students wanted to do was not political, but the kind of skill and knowledge that they would gain working in politics was what they needed for their project, so they would know how to organize themselves and organize other people. That's why I urge you to gain political experience, learn how to get things done now, so that when you someday you have something you want done, whether it's organizing a daycare center, establishing credit in a department store, or getting milk to be served raw, you know how to go about it. Natural, if you want to do this through the Lawrence Women's Political Caucus, well, I'd be glad to see you do it that way. But through the political parties is also a good way to work.
I want to say amen to everything they have said. Before I get into my thing, I'd like to say I think there are going to be at least three more women in the House. I really do. I've sat in on several political action council meetings, and we probably will have a lady senator. Man, look out. I was real surprised when Cindy called and asked if I would talk to you a little bit about sharing some of my experiences and how to communicate with the legislators, mostly because I'm not an expert. And, I really don't care because I like to tell the men when I'm talking to men's groups that it isn't anything to be an expert because you know what an expert is, don't you? An ex is a has-been, and spurt's just a big drip under a whole lot of pressure. So if you're not an expert, I don't even let it worry me. Women can effectively persuade their legislators not to get the bills passed, as we found out. Alan and all of us have struggled through some of the ERA bid and all this. I work very closely with legislation on highway safety. I go home and cry a lot, not in front of the men, because you can't get these people unhung. They're hung up on things that are so unreal that it's fantastic. But as Ellen has said, you have to work through the system, and I'm learning that very bitterly in some instances, and have tried to work through the system, and sometimes, like I say, you go home and cry inside. You know, the old commercial that you see a lot says, we've come a long ways, baby, and we women really have, but we've got a long way to go. And through working in government, with the officials that we elect, this is how we do it. And I'm kind of a rebel. I get real upset and real uptight when I see many capable, and I'll say men and women because I think the men are as guilty as we are, sitting on their apathy, absolutely doing nothing to become interested or to even know how to go about writing your legislator or contacting them. And this really bugs me, especially since I've been quite active the last 2 years. I've been a registered lobbyist for the Kansas Women for Highway Safety and found that a woman is very suspect even on the outside of the legislative halls. You know, it's kind of a hallowed hall that you walk in up there anyhow. You shouldn't really be there. I have one House member that is the chairman of the Roads and Highways, and he's the man I work with, you know, all the time. And this man, I just feel him looking at me, and inside I think he thinks, why don't you just go home, Dolly, and knit? And this is what you contend with. And so, you know, we have to learn through the process that we can reach these people. It's been kind of an expensive experience. I've learned a great deal about the inner workings of government. I don't get paid. And I've learned one thing for sure, and this is that the legislators are real. They really are for real, whether they're fat and ugly or dumb or indifferent or whatever you think they are. And I have words and names for about every one of them. I'm not going to share that with you because they're not too nice sometimes. But these people really are the ones that have control of us. And so this is why it's so important to go back to what Dr. Lynn said and to go back to what Ellen said. You have to start with getting your people elected. And of course, that's not my subject, so I'm not going to get into it. But it's just a reminder that you do have to start down there so that you do get your feelings across to the men or women that are going to be elected. And then in that way, you have some contact in the state house or in Washington if you're going into the national level. And I firmly believe that we women no longer can pass the buck. I don't think we can say that, you know, it's because it's we're sitting home, we're taking care of babies, or we're doing this. I think we have to get involved in learning to know how to communicate with these legislators. And it's not always that easy. And I keep fighting back because I believe in some of the things that I'm fighting for. And I think that all of you out there do too. And so you have a very good cause to fight for, and a woman with a cause you can't beat. You know, if you get something really behind that you want to really push, then the men get scared in the House and in the Senate. We found this the day that they were going to act on the ERA last spring. They really didn't want to talk to us. My very favorite man, and a very good friend of ours for many years, has been the Speaker of the House, Cal Stroy. And he avoided me like I had the plague. You know, he didn't want to face the fact that I was going to say, let's, you know, do something about getting a vote on the ERA. So you can reach them. Like I say, not always maybe to the way you want to, but you can reach them. And so this is some of the things that you do. Write letters, contact them personally, meet before committees, and I'll get into those three things very soon. Don't be frightened of them in the first place. You know, we go up there scared to death, and I can sit here now, you know, I'm a real pro. I know them all, and I say, don't be frightened, and I'm still scared to death. I'm going to appear in the morning at 10 o'clock before a committee in the Senate on the highway transportation, and I'm scared to death. But yet, you know, I say not to be frightened, and I mean this, because they really want your help, and they need you. And so this is why it's important that you learn how. My first trip up there, as a lobbyist, I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of a greenhorn. But I learned one thing. The tourists visit that Kansas State House as though it were a zoo. And it's really no reason. I mean, there's a reason not to do this. That's where the bull is shot, the buck is passed, and that's where you get a bum steer. So it's sort of like a zoo, really. And you sometimes think that they really are animals, and they're not. It is an honor, though, to meet with these people that you have sent there to represent you, that I have re-elected to send and to represent me. And they were curious, I think, every time a woman appears before them, and so you have to do extra homework. I did a lot of things that I am sure that the men lobbyists don't do, because I didn't want them to find that I didn't know or believe in what I was saying. And so I did do a lot of homework before I went down. I felt that by having some facts before me, and this is very important, because when you're appearing before them, especially as a committee, they really come up with some wild questions. And some of them, I think, very basically, were questions that would embarrass me, and I'm awfully hard to embarrass, because I just look at them and think, you know, you had to learn, and I'm here to learn. And so this has been a real good rapport, I think, with them. Then the other thing, I always think you only have one time to make that good impression. You never get that second chance. And so this is why I urge, if you write or any of this, that you do, you know, do some background homework so that you'll know what you're talking about. As a writer of many letters, and I do write a lot of letters, not only to the legislators, I'm a real fan of the governor. He gets quite a few letters from me, sometimes nice and sometimes not so nice, but he always knows who I am now, and he calls me by my name. And this surprises all my cohorts because I'm of the other party. But I have tried very hard to work with the governor, and I think we have good associations and relations. He will listen to some of the things I'm saying, and I listen to what he's saying. I think this is very important. But when you stop to think, really, the mailbox is just as important to these men and women in the legislatures, both again national and state, as a ballot box, because this is the only way they have to really have contact with their constituents back home. Because they can't get home always, and you can't get up there where they are. And so this is very important to them. And they'll take time to write and answer. It may be 3 or 4 weeks before you get an answer back, but you'll get an answer. Nationally, I think you get an answer faster because the fellows in Washington do have help, whereas Unfortunately, and I would fight to get more secretaries and more research people for our state legislators, because they really don't have a lot of help. And they need this, because by the time they're sitting there all day long in sessions and in committee hearings, they don't have a lot of time to answer mail. So don't get really too upset with them, and be angry if you don't hear right back, because they are working hard. But keep your letters brief as possible, and give only the essentials. Then request action. Pin them down, because they're there to do a job, and they should be made to answer or to respond to you in some way. As I say, it might not be what you want to hear back. It might not be the answer at all. But you do have that courtesy that, you know, that you should have an answer. I can remember before I was a lobbyist, my own senator, I was very interested in pari-mutuel betting, coming from Abilene, Kansas, where we did live at that time. Of course, we're the dog place of the nation, we feel. And he, you know, he was very anti-pari-mutuel, and he would not listen to me. And so I just cornered him, and I put his lapel like this, and I said, Ross, you can at least give me the courtesy of listening to me, and then you can tell me, you know, where to go. But this is a thing that they really need to do, because you're part of them. And if you have anything to do with their election, but if you, you know, I always say to the people, if you don't vote, then you don't have any reason to gripe, and you really can't go down there and say what you want to say to those people, because you really didn't do anything to, you know, get them elected or get them defeated. So this is sort of your responsibility. But be brief, and then if you know that there is a bill introduced, call it by number, because really, there are so many bills that sound very much alike, the fellows just don't really know what bill you're talking about. So if it's already been introduced, it will have a number, and I would suggest in writing to them or in talking to them that you refer to that, you know, by number, because it will be very helpful to them as well as to you. And then sign your letters. Always sign your letters, because nothing angers them more. I've seen them opening their mail, and they just toss anything that's not signed. And I think this is true anywhere. You know, newspapers won't accept, I mean, they'll accept it, but they will never print a letter to the editor if it's not signed. This is very important. And do it clearly so they can read it. In my case, I almost have to print my rights poorly. So, and give your address so that they'll have that, you know, because like I say, pin them down, and they owe you this courtesy of doing this. And then, for heaven's sake, use your own ideas. Nothing turns them off more than to get a bunch of canned letters, you know, saying the same thing, or a printed mimeograph card, you know, and you sign your name. Use your ideas, even if it's kind of corny. It's better than this. I've heard so many of them say, well, I can see that such and such a group has been active, you know, because today I got 400 letters across my desk. And that doesn't mean a thing. So be personal, and this helps a great deal in getting what you want to say across. If you ever need help as far as getting bills and copies of bills or getting some other official documents or something, contact them, because they'd be very happy to help you. Again, that's what they're there for. And they sure can get you the bills, and I'm sure they will. Another way that you can contact or personally persuade them is to, like I say, contact them. If you're not in Topeka, most of the time during the session, they'll be home on weekends. And I'm sure they don't like to be bugged by a whole lot of people, because I know they're busy, they're doing their bread and butter jobs. Unfortunately, we don't pay them enough that they can have a full-time job up there. But they appreciate, again, having your thoughts, so call them at home, or maybe you'll run onto them, you know, on the street, and then you tell them some of the things you'd like. And for heaven's sake, don't always be critical. If they've done something real good, just make them fall off the floor, you know, onto the floor, off their chair when you write, and say, thanks for voting for such and such, because very few people ever do this. You know, we're real quick to write when we're angry and say no. But do this, because like you and I, we have ego, and it makes you feel real good if somebody says, you know, a job well done, thanks. And so I would suggest that you do this either in person or in writing, even, because, like I say, I'm sure that they don't get that too often. And then, though they don't always agree, and you don't always agree with them, let them tell you their side, because, you know, unfortunately, and I hate to admit it sometimes, there are two sides to every question. And maybe we're only one of the many constituents, and the others, maybe 100 or so, favor the other way. So, you know, after you've told them what you think and what you like, then be sure you let them have equal time so that they can express themselves. It makes both of you feel much better, and you'll have a better relationship in working with them again. And then be honest, because these people, whether some I think are far out and not really too whippy, they're pretty smart, and they see through it when you put them on. You know. So again, you have to be kind of honest and square with them so that they'll know what you're talking about is what you sincerely believe and some of the truth that is around, because I'm sure they're exposed to all kinds. You know, supposedly the lobbyists are bad, and they tell them all kinds of falsehoods and prefabricate and this sort of thing. And I think I'm kind of refreshing to them, because I don't know enough about it to lie. And so I just have to be very honest, and I get a lot of guff, I get a lot of teasing. Of course, especially on Women's Lib. Ellen, you'd be surprised at how, you know, the first thing they always say when you start there about anything equal rights, oh, so you want, you know, one community potty. Now, isn't this something, this just makes me real upset with them, because these are adult people, and that's the first thing you hear. You know, I suppose you want to take his or hers and make it ours. And, you know, we have no intention, that's not what we wanted at all. And so it's kind of humorous as well as sometimes very serious. And the third way, of course, is to appear before committees, and many of you probably don't have to do this because you've not had the experience. But during the session, in the mornings, the House of Representatives meet as a body. In the afternoons, they have committee. Vice versa. The Senate has committee hearings in the mornings and meet in the afternoons. There will be, most any day of the week, in the newspaper that you have access to, a schedule of the meetings. If not, contact your own individual legislator and say, I'm interested in such and such a bill, for instance, the driver's license reexamination bill, which I appear tomorrow. I have been on their list, you know, ever since the session ended, and I get this daily list they send once a week that shows the committees. Somehow, the senator remembered my plea, I think, last year, and I got notified that I was asked to come in tomorrow. But you do this by sending in to the chairman and saying, or calling and saying, we would like to appear before such and such a committee when you meet on this particular bill. Then you go in and appear before them as a body. One of you would speak, you know, if you have a group like the Women's Political Caucus, you would go in there and meet, and they would hear you. Then they make no decisions or anything at that time, and it's all discussed afterwards. After you leave, you don't get to hear all the goodies, but it's really quite an experience, and it's one way, again, that you can communicate as a group by, you know, having a representative or two speak out. And so this is something I'd like you to learn to do, because, well, last year there were many young people from the universities appeared, different times, several times while I was there. Another interesting experience, and this is to sit in on a budget hearing sometime. This is really, I saw your Dr. Chalmers 2 years ago when he was first new, well, 3 years ago, whenever, it was his first year, and I came away very impressed, especially with his bow tie. This man really was sharp, and they plead very loud and very long, and sometimes on deaf ears. And sometimes I think that, you know, we don't think that our regents and all are really hearing us, but they do try, and the legislators have to hear all this, and then they determine which is most valuable and how your money should be spent. And unfortunately, there's never enough money. And so this is why many of the bills that I plead for, we don't get, because we don't have enough money. Sometimes they get through, and then they get vetoed, but, you know, that's another thing. But when you appear before the committee, be informed. That's a very important thing. And then, again, believe in what you're saying. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to sell this. The thing I think in closing I'd like to stress mostly is remember they are human beings. And for heaven's sake, don't threaten them. And don't make them, you know, a promise that you're going to do something. Because you kind of insult their integrity. They can't be bribed. I'm sure that sometimes you've heard that they are bribed, but I'm fully convinced after working with them for 2 years, and as you can see, I'm very much, I don't know just what word I want to use, but I think the legislators are pure, clean people, and they're taking a lot of abuse every day from many of the politicians that say they were bad, and I'm speaking of both sides because I've worked very closely with both sides, but they're trying, and they're not doing a perfect job, and I look around at my people at home. For instance, this past primary deadline was the 20th of June to file. And I pleaded with everyone in my town of Abilene, Kansas, where I work. I live in Salina, but I work over there, to please run for office. We could not get anybody, off their duck to run. We finally have two young people, and now everybody is so critical of the young people, I want to go around and tap each one on the head and say, okay, this is your doing, why didn't you run? See, no one wants to take that responsibility, as Ellen found, particularly in women. And so we live with the legislators we have, and you work with them. So don't be too critical of them. They appreciate constructive criticism. And they need you, as I said before, and you need them. And I think in working with them, not always agreeing, but working with them, I think we can accomplish a great deal. And so if you have some questions, if we have some time for questions, I'll try to answer or whatever. I hope it's enlightened you a little bit. I didn't know just what to cover, except that it is quite an exciting world, and it gets under your skin, and you know, you think you can lick the world, but you can't. Thank you.
I have a question, something the old one said about the regarding platforms. I know this is true at the national level. Is there a commitment on the state level? On either side, either party?
Not as such as a platform.
No, I wasn't saying that, but I think that we're dealing with them. I got from Biddy something about her appearing before the platform committee, and I think that they're trying. And at least there, I know in our district, we have a woman who happens to be running as a state representative, and she is forcing her opponent to explain why he didn't vote for equal rights amendment. And that's more what I meant to say. For the first time, they're aware of women's issues. They're examining, they justify why they didn't vote for the equal rights, or they're explaining why they did very proudly. This has never happened before. They haven't cared before. So I think that this is some progress. I'm not saying that it's in the platform.
Did you have any experience with that this year?
I appeared before both platform committees on highway safety, and then on the Republican platform, I carried the Women's Political Caucus plea, which one of the women in Wichita did down there before the Democrat. Neither party put one iota in. We had lots of promises, a lot of hearings, and bad news. I thought it was bad. I thought the Women's Political Caucus had a very strong issue in the daycare centers to get the welfare mothers off of the welfare roll so that, you know, they'd have somebody take care of their children. I think it was Representative Vogel maybe in the committee hearing. Anyhow, somebody from down these areas said, great idea. So I, you know, came home in curious. I thought, well, we'll get the platform. But we did not get any of the platform. Not as such.
It's a really strange omission.
Especially since Biddy of the Girls had done a terrific job.
Karen Graves. Karen it was, yeah. Karen Graves
shook him to pieces. Shook poor old Frank Master out of his head. He was so afraid that abortion thing would get him to that platform, he was sick. For two whole hours, he was just panicky around there. And of course, didn't get him. We don't have guts enough in our party. I can't speak for the Democrat Party, and now you know what I am, but I'm a liberal one. I'm going to get kicked out on anything. We can't take an issue. I mean, we can't face it and say in black and white, we will do this. You read our platform every year.
Bobby, yes. you spoke about women legislators. I think that we may have five. It's a sense of that Senator Jan Meyer.
Very much.
So it's one senator. But I did a thing, I think I figured out, I can't tell really, like who's Vivian Meckel from Hayes. Is that a man?
That's a man.
It's a man. Yeah. I figured that. I think there are 16 running.
There are 16
and
women.
One,
in fact, there were 23 in the primary.
Yeah, I think even more than that, unless I've been mixed up on those names. But Shirley is usually a woman. Not always.
I understand.
Which races do you think?
There's a Wichita senator, a lady might win in the Senate in Wichita, but Jan is a shoo-in. In Saline County, do y'all mind if we talk a little bit about the women that might win? In Saline County, there will be probably Shirley Jakes, who's been active with the League of Women Voters. Very definitely, I think, win, because the man isn't working. The woman is out knocking on doors, which is really, she is one. There's bound to be one more in Topeka area, because there are two women opposing each other, Ruth Wilkins and Anita Paula. Either will be very good. Either are very good at businesswomen, favor women's rights, and so forth. The other one will be, Annabelle Hawk in Wichita, in the House, has a very good chance.
Okay,
we might get the Zazani has a good chance. There's several down in Wichita
right.
Might have a chance. So we may go up there and just beam at all the women on Floyd House.
I think that B. Douglas has not given much chance in Wichita against Billy McCray.
Billy McCray has a sack up. First of all, he's in a complete Democrat area. Secondly, he's been he's about the only black that represents him from that whole area. And the black will see that he's reelected. And he's not, he's going in, to the Senate.
I understood that it was Billy McCray who single-handedly, by bringing up on the floor the